I think the trouble with the Canadian thing is it kind of gives you a sort of soft soap version of, you know, how you look at things in a different light. I think GDP is a complex measure, but it does give you this one number at the end of it, which people seem to be quite comfortable with. I think the whole well-being agenda, which we'll get into, is actually looking at a different way of how you measure how society performs. And what we've been trying to do over the last two sessions is actually to try and get people here to think about, if you perceive housing in a well-being term, you move to an understanding of it being home and the neighbourhood. So what measures come out of that as opposed to housing? Now, housing's very easy in GDP, it's jobs, it's an economic measure. Whereas if you then restructure housing into a home model, if you like, then you start to see it in terms of how it engages with a whole range of other well-being aspects, which kind of have got lost. I think over the last 20 or 30 years, we stopped talking about building homes and we started talking about housing. We moved from the idea of a social fabric, a communal fabric, if you like, housing, to something that was very individualised and privatised.
And I think the reason for that, just to continue, is the fact we can talk about, like, for instance, from a planning point of view, housing, land availability, and if you want to go into numbers, my gosh, you can really crash into units only, and units. No mention of anything to do with health and well-being, and that's another issue as well. It's as though, as a kind of government, as a society now, we're much more comfortable with a figure, really, and if we can say something as a figure, or a 0 to 10, where 0 is dreadful and 10 is fantastic and it's a 9, hey, that's great, we can look at that. The kind of things we're talking about in social and health and well-being, we'll never be able to package all that to one figure. It's too complex, but we have to start.